Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The U.S. Supreme Court turned down an unusual request on Monday from the Trump administration to decide whether it is entitled to shut down a program that shields nearly 700,000 young undocumented immigrants from deportation. The move means that the immigrants, often called Dreamers, who are covered under DACA, that's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, whether they could remain in legal limbo for many months unless Congress acts to make their status permanent. The Supreme Court's decision not to hear the administration's appeal was expected, as no appeals court has yet ruled on the issue. The court's order was brief, gave no reason, and noted no dissents. It said it expected.
So wait, they tried to appeal something to the Supreme Court without having an appeals court look at it first?
Yeah, so this was untimely, and that was the complete, from a legal standpoint, right, decision.
How do you do that?
Back in
you can't.
Back in September, Donald Trump issued an executive order saying, I'm repealing Barack Obama's executive order that implemented DACA, and it goes away in 6 months, so March 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And then people wound up saying, hey, you can't do this. And then it's sort of been in this weird legal limbo thing. And Trump was like, all right, well, I tell you what, it's not going to go away if Congress passes something to authorize it. But we're talking about a guy that, after going to France and seeing that they had a military parade,
says, wanted one too.
I want a military parade and I want mine to be bigger.
It was France that encouraged him to say that? I thought it was North Korea.
No, he went to France. When I first saw the headline, I also thought North Korea.
Yeah.
I've got to show Kim Jong-un that I've got a bigger wiener than he does. But no, he went to France on Bastille Day, and they've been having a parade on Bastille Day since the 1800s.
I need to have a parade.
That's insane.
Now, it did come out a couple days ago that the parade's going to be on November 11th. Which
they
is Veterans Day, also Armistice Day, so it's going to be the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, which, as antiwar.com pointed out, is somewhat ironic because the point of Armistice Day was an anti-war holiday,
and they changed that.
Showing off your military is kind of the opposite.
Well, that kind of works in line with the end of World War I and how it caused World War II.
Basically. That's true. You're calling about the surprisingly good news coming out of New Hampshire, where DUI checkpoints, at least so far, there's a bill to abolish them completely statewide, and it actually passed the state house. Robert, was this a surprise to you?
It is very surprising to me. One of the other things that's really, well, there's actually several things here, but one thing I was surprised to see is that in this article, it says 1% of the drivers who are stopped are charged with drunk driving.
It goes
on to say supporters also said checkpoints can erode relations between police and the public because drivers don't like being stopped. And that because officers get paid overtime, it makes the practice expensive as well.
Exactly. And it doesn't really do anything to stop people from drinking and driving.
And that's part of what Robert pointed out of the very small number of people that actually wind up getting a charge for drunk driving.
Right. If you want to stop drunk driving, you're actually better off just having the police do normal patrols on the roads and keeping their eyes peeled for people who are acting like they're drunk. Whereas what they're doing now, these DUI checkpoints, is they're basically turning everybody into a suspect. They're wholesale stopping everybody that comes through a particular area and essentially conducting an illegal search on people.
The trooper testified checkpoints have gone down in recent years, and the state still be able to use grants to increase patrols. There was further concern that DWI checkpoints invade a driver's right to be free from unlawful seizures. The majority feels checkpoints can lead to a worsening of public-police relationships, as many people would be upset after being stopped and detained without any evidence of them doing anything wrong. But your statement about courts have upheld them as being legal.
Constitutional.
And, well, what they have upheld is as long as there's proof that they're actually doing what they say they do, and the fact that there's a very, very low number of people in New Hampshire that are actually being charged, if someone were to challenge the next time the police say, we want to have a checkpoint, because they do have to wind up getting a court's approval. If That's someone true. Were to challenge, then they could probably wind up presenting a very good argument of this is it. Not needed.
With logic, yes, courts do weird things about proof.
I tried it, and I actually did challenge a recent DUI checkpoint as a sort of a member of the public putting in a motion to intervene in that case, and the judge basically kicked it out saying, oh, well, this has already been ruled constitutional, so have a nice day. The police, of course, want to keep the DUI checkpoints going because it's big money for them. They get big money from the federal government. They get overtime pay.
Not necessarily, because the committee report here says that a trooper testified that the checkpoints have gone down, but they can still use the grants to increase patrols.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. They
so
did
some
that.
Of the police are kind of split to where, you know, you've got some that are, oh, well, you know, it's good for us.
I think
they'd
that
rather
was
drive around and just not deal with us.
I think that that was in response to a question, though. That police officer's statement that was being referenced that you're talking about was in response to one of the state reps asking him, well, you know, could you blah, 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 use this?
Okay.
I think. You'd have to review that anyway. But the cops did come out, and they wanted to keep this thing going because,
right.
you know, it's pretty sweet for them. They just get to stand around on the side of the road, drink coffee all night, and, you know, get paid for shaking people down and searching people's cars and
right.
arresting people for marijuana possession and whatever else.
And to answer your question of are DUI checkpoints prohibited in other states, I found a chart here from findlaw.com where they show that in Alaska they are not allowed.
Really?
Apparently there has never been anything to authorize them in Alaska.
Right on.
Scrolling down, and they've got the states in alphabetical order showing
yeah.
either yes or no. Idaho, no.
Wow.
Case law is State v. Henderson from 1988.
A checkpoint is the antithesis of freedom. And in fact, one of the things that I brought up in this in my testimony was that the state of New Hampshire is actually currently being sued by the ACLU regarding the border checkpoints that they had within the state.
Oh, yeah, the happened. Ones where they wound up finding people with drugs, but no, what was it, like the two undocumented people, or I say undocumented, I believe they actually had documents that were expired.
Mm.
They were from, like, Honduras?
Yeah, I don't remember that part about it, but that sounds like it's plausible. I know that one of the times they did these checkpoints was during the Hemp Fest, during the Cannabis Freedom Festival, which was right up the road.
Yeah.
Awfully coincidental timing in that particular case where they basically are choking off the one main road that everybody coming out of the Cannabis Freedom Festival would come down in order to go back home to the rest of the state of New Hampshire.
Correct.
Unless they happened to go up and around through Vermont, they would have then missed it in that case. So at the same time as the ACLU is rightfully suing the hell out of the state of New Hampshire for even participating in these Border Patrol checkpoints, you've also got the State House voting to repeal them. So I think that's great news.
Well, hold on. The DUI checkpoint and the border immigration checkpoint, those are two completely different things.
Right.
So what the State House passed last week, and again, it's still working its way, hasn't yet gone to the Senate.
Back to the question of immigration, there's an interesting piece from the Washington Post that I've had here for a couple of weeks, and since we were talking about immigration, this seems like a good time for it. It's out of Helena, Montana, where Jordan Dirtle Roberts said he immediately had reservations, moral ones, after he found out about subpoenas. His state agency in Montana would have to send labor data to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office. And as a legal secretary for the state's labor department, Dirtle Roberts would have to help process those documents, information that he said would no doubt be used to track down and deport undocumented workers. So he talked to his wife, and without much debate, they agreed on what he had to do. He quit the following day. It was not an easy decision, Dirdal Roberts told the Washington Post. He's got a four-year-old child, a wife who's working as a substitute librarian while attending graduate school, two cats, and about $900 left in his checking account. Quitting would also make him ineligible for unemployment insurance. His coworkers tried to talk him out of it, he said, and some wondered why he had to do it. He wrote on his Twitter, quote, "People have asked why I'm doing this if I have a child. I'm doing this because I have a child. I want to be able to look my child in the eye," he said. The only way that this could be stopped is if all of the people who were in this chain of command and this bureaucracy had the same level of conscience. Because if everybody had a conscience about not actually screwing over families and, you know, destroying the lives of these peaceful immigrants who've just come here to make a better life for themselves, then no one would do this, right? Then right. And everybody would quit their job, and then the ICE would be flummoxed.
Yeah, it's kind of the... I'm not sure the right term to use here, but sort of the right-wing fantasy thing of, well, you know, the Constitution protects rights, and it's up to the men and the women that have the jobs to disobey illegal, unlawful, unconstitutional orders, but yet at the same time they'll say that, you know, you've got to do what you're told. Well, this guy... He knew that he couldn't just ignore the paperwork, so he quit.
That was his only option.
Right. So, you know, the men and women in the military, they don't have the option to just quit. Well, they could, but then they face prison for going AWOL. So, you know, my question for those, you know, more conservatives that tend to uphold the, well, you know, they're just going to disobey unlawful orders is what are their actual options? And you know that they don't actually disobey unlawful orders. They just do whatever the hell they're told.
Donald Trump apparently has weighed in on his opinion about what he would do if he were the officer, if he were just Donald Trump.
He would get a draft deferment and never have joined the Broward County Sheriff's Department?
Well, he claims that he would have rushed into the Florida high school during the mass shooting, unlike the officer.
I have a hard time imagining Donald Trump rushing anywhere.
So apparently there's audio of this.
So that they're less vulnerable to attack. This includes allowing well-trained and certified school personnel to carry concealed firearm. At some point, you need volume. Now, I don't know that a school is going to be able to hire 100 security guards that are armed. Plus...
100 security guards. I don't know how many prisons actually have 100 security guards or prison guards at one time on shift.
Yeah.
You know, I got to watch some deputy sheriffs performing this weekend. They weren't exactly Medal of Honor winners. All right. The way they performed was, frankly, disgusting.
I don't know that I'd say they performed.
Well,
good or bad.
Around.
Well, hiding behind a car for 4 to 6 minutes while a 17-year-old shoots people, you know, it's doing something. It's not what they were hired to do.
I mean, in like the physics sense, it's
poor
doing something.
They were existing.
So 6 days ago in Allen Parish in Louisiana, a kid was doing some math work, which I guess is a thing you're supposed to do at school. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you can still get in trouble for it. Which involved drawing a square root sign, and a couple of the other kids, because this was all young boys in a class of the age where they do square roots, I don't know exactly what grade that
probably
is.
Middle school.
Yeah, so a bunch of, you know, middle school boys got around and said, oh, that looks like a gun. One of the boys threatened someone with the square root sign, according to the school.
I don't even understand how that would happen. Did he pick up the piece of paper and shake it at someone?
Well, there was the story several years ago about one of the kids that he grabbed the little cardboard cutouts of the letters and he grabbed the letter L and was playing cops
like
and robbers with the letter L and wound up getting suspended for violating the weapons policy at
Ridiculous.
School. Zero tolerance.
Yep.
Which means zero common sense.
That's right.
Yeah, so he apparently didn't do anything physically because he made a verbal threat, which involved threatening someone with the
square root symbol.
So not even the actual renowned square root symbol. He apparently, according to the government, threatened someone with the conceptual symbol of the square root sign.
Pardon me, Daryl. I don't mean to be rude, but I would like to point out the fact that you seem to cut off people as they are talking and ironically, a fashion that is not uniform to the Free Talk Live credence.
Okay, I don't know what you're referring to. Are you referring to...
Nor do I.
Are you referring to co-hosts? Are you referring to callers?
Yes, I would. Obviously, callers.
It wasn't obvious. That's why I asked
you.
He
would step on the toes of his boss there, would he?
Well, there are no bosses here, but...
Oh, no, he doesn't get paid by anyone. No, no. That's not possible.
No, actually, there are no bosses here at Free Talk Live.
There's no paychecks.
Nope. There's no paychecks.
There's no paychecks. You guys don't have advertisements.
We do have advertisements, but there are no paychecks.
You have advertisements. So what do the advertisers pay for?
They pay for advertising.
And whom do they pay?
They pay for advertising, but let's not get into, you know,
all
those
details.
They
pay for advertising, but they would pay an individual or at least a corporate entity,
no,
correct?
No, there is no corporate entity here.
What's that got to do with...
I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay. You can jump to conclusions if you want.
Accept the payment for said advertisement.
Huh?
Is there a place that would accept payment for advertisement?
Yeah, Free Talk
Live. I would like to advertise the fact that I walk dogs.
Okay, cool. Well, you can contact Mark at freetalklive.com. He'd be happy to set you up with some advertising.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I haven't noticed that Daryl's any better or worse at interrupting than any other host. Honestly, I think that everybody has to do it at some point because sometimes you have callers that are just going to ramble on, and you, if you want to have a talk show that is entertaining, you can't just allow a caller to just have a platform for rambling with no particular point.
You
right?
also can't let people just call in and advertise their products for free because then no
right.
one would buy advertising.
Right, exactly. So, Dale, I'm sorry that it hurts you to hear that happening, but that's just kind of how talk radio works.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt the lady there. I apologize. And
you didn't interrupt her.
No, it was a character I was trying to play, to be honest.
We had you on hold. We didn't hear a word that you said.
So what is true of what I said is, actually as a Free Talk Live listener of a long time, I'm sorry, you guys might've heard of Mega Bowser before.
No.
Or something like that.
Is that a Mario Brothers character?
Not. Could be.
I got on a whole, you know, YouTube, you know, rabbit hole the other day, and I saw the way the guy was talking. I thought it was pretty funny.
Which guy was talking?
No, Daryl, to be honest.
You're a little bit jumpy here. You said you got on YouTube, you saw a way a guy was talking. You're kind of losing me here, dude. What are you trying to say? I just saw a headline over at Drudge Report about Michael Savage. Now, for people that don't know the name Michael Savage, who is he?
He's kind of competition.
He used to be direct competition. Now he's
right. That's why
not.
I said kind yeah. of. His yeah. Live day part is different, but some of the stations still delay broadcast to the time slot.
Right.
He used to be
a talk show host,
super conservative. His tagline, I believe, is still borders, language, culture. I know that's
right.
what it was many years ago. He very briefly
had a
show. Was it MSNBC that he had
no
the
idea.
Show on back like 15 years ago that lasted very briefly?
Really?
Where he wore like a bomber jacket sort of thing.
Hmm. Yeah. Never saw that. But he is a terrible man who is an advocate of closing the borders. And apparently now he's talking about running for the U.S. Senate.
In California?
In California. Headline here from Breitbart. As Michael Savage contemplates a run for the U.S. Senate in California, the radio star Monday unveiled, that's today, a platform of borders, language, and culture. In an email to Breitbart News, Savage outlined his plan for the Golden State if he decides to jump into the race. Some people will be very happy to know that I did ban James Whittakind from the AMP Only Facebook group last night.
And you just mentioned him on these public airwaves, and he will not be happy about that.
Well, whatever. He's never
happy. He's not happy anyway, yeah, so what difference does it make?
Right. He's just not a happy man, which is his choice. And so for listeners that are unfamiliar, James is a man who has been calling this show for a number of years. He's always upset about something that we said to him at some point in the past, and he can't stop rehashing the past and has... I think he was one of the first people to be banned from Free Talk Live. I think Dave from New York was first, but then James Whittakind was the second person, I think, ultimately to be banned from Free Talk Live. Always temporary bans. You know, we always let the bans expire because I just don't like the idea of, you know, not giving somebody a second chance. And,
or a third or a fourth. Right.
And so he's threatened people on the air. He's threatened people off the air, hosts of the show, mostly Mark, but he's threatened some of the rest of us as well. And, like, it doesn't bother
me.
And
when I went to Arizona last year, he, you know...
Did you try to, like, fight him or something?
He made some kind of veiled threat of, if you show up in Phoenix, you'll be sorry.
Told him where and when, though, you were going to show up, right?
Right.
Yeah, so, like, you were ready to go.
That's going to be a really big wall on the California-Nevada border when California secedes.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think he would stay in California if California seceded, or would he move into Nevada or something like that?
I don't know. He'd probably move back to New York, where he's originally from.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Why would he live in those two states, being who he is?
He is a statist?
Right, but he is a conservative.
He is a conservative, but he's also an environmentalist as well. So he's not your typical... From that aspect, he sort of positions himself as like an environmental conservative because the final point on his platform of a Senate run that he has not yet decided that he's going to do, apparently.
But he's got to decide quick because filing deadline coming up in, what is it, about 2 weeks?
That's what you told me, yeah. What, early March?
March 9th, I think the date was.
He claims he wants to be, quote, strong on the environment.
I do agree that Michael Savage, when it comes to taxes and economics, is more of a fiscal liberal or a fiscal conservative.
Okay.
But,
That doesn't impress me much. I mean, look, you're either, if you are against taxes, then you are a person who cares about liberty. If you just want to trim it back a little bit, then that doesn't excite me.
Especially considering we're talking about California.
Right.
It's not like you're in New Hampshire. It's like, okay, there's two taxes. Let's cut one by a third. It's like, it's California.
Now, me personally, I do support a lot of the views when it comes to anarcho-capitalism, and I'm a big fan of Stefan Molyneux.
Stefan Molyneux used to be an anarchist. He used to be somebody who was against the state, but he recently, as of the last year or two, became a total... Last four, maybe? Okay. Well, I mean, he totally jumped the shark during the Trump campaign when he actually started singing the national anthem, the United States national anthem.
Okay, so that video was kind of a troll, although he did become a statist.
I mean, you don't... That seemed to be legit. Like, why would somebody sing the national anthem of a country in which...
Because he had a bunch of people messaging him, oh, you're just, like, gonna sing the national anthem. That's how big of a statist you are. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, I will sing the... Which doesn't make any sense, because he's Canadian.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. And now he's, like, apparently... Didn't he go white nationalist, racist, or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
But here's the question. What ballot label would he run as? Okay.
That's what it says here, that apparently somebody asked him, or quote, some very important people asked him to run as an independent against Senator Dianne Feinstein. But to seal the borders, to build a wall like a citadel, deport illegal aliens, people out there get all excited about this immigration restriction thing as though it's not going to affect them. As though that, oh, well, I was born here, so I don't have to worry about this. This isn't going to affect me. And I have to ask, have those people ever gone through an immigration checkpoint? Because we talked earlier tonight about checkpoints here on Free Talk Live here in New Hampshire. They may be abolishing DUI checkpoints, and the state is being sued over immigration checkpoints. Have you ever been through one of those? Because to me, that's a hallmark of a police state.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but freedom and police state are not two things that go together.
I mean, the same people who complain about having to show their ID to buy cigarettes and alcohol are the same people who want everybody to have papers on them at all times to have to show to the cops.
No, no, no. See, they want everybody else. I shouldn't have to, but everybody, it's all them others.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I mean, look, I understand people do want their own freedom, but if you want to be free, you have to also allow other people to be free.
The Crestview, Florida Police Department posted on Facebook about a week ago, and they've updated the post since then. And luckily, you know, because the way Facebook is, it's like, here's the current post. And it says, due to blah, 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 we have updated this. So let me jump in. They say the Crestview Police Department's Food from the Fuzz program will soon be rewarding good safe driving practices with a certificate for a free Papa Murphy's Faves pizza. The program, which has not yet been implemented, has generated excitement and online discussion, not just from this community, but in social media posts from as far away as Seattle and all the way to Maine. While motorists participating in the program, as originally envisioned, was completely voluntary, to address some concerns, the department has received the Community Services Division of the Police Department is tweaking the Food from the Fuzz program, so the agency will present the reward for good driving, a certificate, good again, for a Papa Murphy's Faves pizza without actually pulling the driver over.
But so they were going to originally, though.
Originally, they were going to pull drivers over. And I'm curious, they say,
how are they
going to
do it?
They say participation is completely voluntary. Well, how do you know that I'm volunteering to have you pull me over?
I tend to think that a lot of the people that I interact with that are libertarian are pretty smart and interesting. They're very interesting people to talk to. They are engaged. They're not just pulling. They're not drinking the Kool-Aid, guys. And there's Kool-Aid drinkers on both sides, Republicans, Democrats. And I think the libertarian philosophy is making its way into particularly the Republican side of things, at least generally speaking. It's not being said, hey, we're libertarians.
What evidence do you have for that?
Well, I'm not even trying to provide evidence. I'm just trying to say that I'm giving you I'm a marketing person and I work in media. And so I have that. I write commercials and I do a lot of things, but anyway, but the point that I'm trying to make here is that the average person who I write to all the time and who I try to get to buy things, out here in the world that I'm in, until you get a lot of the older population, that are in the baby boomer generation and older to basically be more open-minded to libertarianism and not be scared of it. And particularly down in the southeastern part of the country where I am from, and I've been all over the world and I've traveled everywhere, you know, I've been all over the place. But anyway, the point is a lot of those people, for example, in 2012, they wouldn't vote for a Mormon.
How would you feel if the cops pulled you over and then gave you a coupon for a free pizza?
Annoyed?
Really annoyed.
How would you feel about the pizza company in that particular case? Because obviously the...
Annoyed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably take it out on the pizza company.
How would you do that?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it for long amounts of time.
Would you burn the pizza coupon? would you no. order the pizza and then turn it upside down and just like throw it on the floor? And
I'd
make
probably
some
like complain to headquarters, like, y'all gave me a free coupon, but you threatened to kill me first, and that's
right.
Like, just tell the story, but in English instead of in status
of
dogma.
What actually happened?
Yeah,
yeah. So what you're talking about there is the police and the government generally will use euphemisms to cover up the violence of what's actually happening.
Come see the violence inherent in the system.
Right. I mean, if you don't pull over for the cop, you know, even though that cop is pulling you over to give you a pizza coupon, what's that cop going to do? That cop's not used to people not pulling over for them. Normally, the way they handle that is to throw down spike strips or run you off the road or, you know, take some sort of ultra aggressive, increasingly aggressive action.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.